Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget his benefits. He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. And he crowns us with his love and his compassion. We stand to sing, Praise My Soul. So we turn to God in prayer. If you watch Michael McIntyre on Saturday evening, he's a bit of an idiot, really, but he goes into people's bedrooms, doesn't he, at midnight, and he breaks in, and as soon as he turns the light on, clearly they're asleep, and it takes a bit of time to focus as they give them a moment just to come round, as it were. And to a certain extent, when we come to God in prayer, particularly when we come to services on Sunday, we do find ourselves often in that same situation. We just need a moment to focus. To focus off the world and the things that this world presents to us and offers to us as strength, to focus on the God who calls us to be his children and offers us his forgiveness and grace. So let's pray. Father God, we do pause this morning and we seek to see you as you really are, the mighty creator of the ends of the earth and yet the one who also desires to be called Father. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father and you are the one who loves us with an everlasting love. We come this morning to celebrate that love and that grace which you offer to us, which comes to us freely. Lord, our job is simply to accept and to desire to walk with you hand in hand. Lord, forgive us, because when we come close to you, we recognise, in a sense, the distance that there has been. The gulf and the chasm that is set between God and man. And we come this morning and recognise in Jesus Christ that chasm is bridged, that our sins can be overcome. They can be blotted out. They can, as the Bible says, be atoned for, that is covered up. Lord, we come this morning and seek your covering and your forgiveness and ask, Lord, as we turn from our sins and as we seek to lead new lives, we ask that you would indeed bless us and strengthen us. Come amongst us, we pray. To lead us and to guide us. May it be, Lord, that we go from this place carrying you in our heart and afresh and ready again for all that you have for us in the week ahead. So hear our prayers, add your blessing to our lives, speak to us during this service, because we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I never quite know what to do at this bit in the service, but I'll just talk, just make a few comments to you, really. If ever you've seen, read some of the Old Testament prophets, they really are to me, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're very interesting characters, but one of the problems with these chaps is they do a lot of preaching and no one listens. Now, that's the world we live in, isn't it? People don't listen like they used to, and I'm as bad as anybody else at listening. But what Jeremiah decided to do was, he decided rather than just speak, he decided to act things out. So he used to walk around Jerusalem with this great big yoke on his shoulders, this wooden yoke, the sort of thing that the oxen would use to pull the plough. And he walked around Jerusalem for quite a few months with this yoke on his shoulders. And if people asked him what he was doing, he would tell them. But he just made a picture. And then at the end of this set time, he broke the yoke up and burnt it. And then the next day, he wore a yoke of iron. And what he was basically saying to the people was, look, God has made some demands on you. They're quite light, really. But you don't want to carry them. You don't like having to do what you're told. And then he says, of course, if you choose to burn that, if you choose to turn away from that way of living, then you will find yourself in a much more difficult situation with a yoke of iron. A yoke that is there that you cannot break and will continue to guide your life. When Jesus came along, he also spoke in pictures. And we're going to look at a parable later on this morning. But, you know, the first thing he did was he asked the disciples to cast their net on the other side of the boat. To put out into the deep and to throw the nets out. They'd failed their fishing trip and they pulled in a load of fish. And suddenly they realized that Jesus was there to bless them in a fantastic way. And they realized that this was the possibility of the future. The kingdom of God could be as fruitful as this if only they would allow Jesus to speak to them and guide them. As we can in our lives, we can find fruitful lives if we do and go where the Lord tells us to go. While Jesus was speaking once, somebody in the crowd shouted out, "What about those people in Siloam?" Now, Siloam was a town where the tower had collapsed and landed on 18 people. And Jesus says, look, and this person made the suggestion that those people who the tower had fallen on deserved to have their lives lost at that time. They'd been particularly bad. And Jesus says, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. The tower fell down, and it's just how things happen in this world. The important thing is that if you do find yourself being killed by a tower or any other situation, then you need to be ready for the consequences of meeting your Maker on that occasion. That's what we're here for this morning, to be ready to meet our Maker at any time. There were people this week, I've noticed, I don't know whether you've seen a few comments, but people this week say that Los Angeles has burnt because people deserve to lose their homes, because they're wealthy. It's a strange way of looking at things, isn't it? And Jesus would say, no, these things happen. And when these things happen, we're meant to see God's hand somehow, we're meant to find out what God is saying and somehow recognise some of the failures that we've done. People have died, 27 people have died. And it's not because they're particularly worse than those who haven't died. But we are reminded this morning, as I believe God speaks to us through many things, and we can look and see, and we look at the devastation, and suddenly we realise, as Jesus once said, you cannot extend your life. You can't make yourself any taller or any shorter. You can't extend your years by anything that you can think or worry about. We are simply all of us in God's hands. And our job surely is to trust Him, to rely on Him, and to know that one day the span of our life will come to an end. And we need to be ready for what that means. Ready with our suit. A friend of mine's going on a holiday in March to Madeira, and she's brought her suitcases yesterday, and she's going to start packing them over the next 6 weeks, ready to go. She's getting ready. And, you know, we could be in heaven before Easter, some of us. You don't know, do you? And we need to be people who are ready. Start packing our suitcases. Start putting our faith in line. Start believing and trusting more than we do. Put our confidence in God and not in our things. Because the things of this world, as you know, are very transient. Just look at Los Angeles. Houses, impressive houses worth millions of dollars have gone in an instant. We are called by the pictures that we see to have the sense to put our lives in order, to build our houses on rock, on God, and to trust him. I hope and pray that we will indeed be people who are realistic and allow God's words to focus our heart in the days that lie ahead. We're going to sing Cornerstone. Yeah? We're going to turn to God in prayer. We're going to think of particularly of Glenn and Cameron, who are Iris's children, as tomorrow's funeral service takes place. We're going to think too of Debbie and Kevin, who are the children of Rex Gilman. Rex Gilman died on Christmas Eve, and I'm going to do his funeral service in a green cemetery outside in Olney on the 30th of January at 11 o'clock. His wife Janice, you may remember, used to teach in Sunday school for many years. I believe Rex fell off the organ in 1992 and didn't come back. He had quite a problem with his legs. I know Mike Vidler also has visited him quite regularly over the last 30 years. But we're going to say goodbye to Rex, and we're going to pray for his family too. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that we can come to you. You are our comfort and our strength. We thank you too, Lord, that we can pray and things change. We don't just waste our time. We don't just speak into the air. We speak to you, our Heavenly Father, and you hear our prayers, and you answer them. not always as we want them to be, but you answer our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always with us to respond to us and to bless us and to lead us forward. We thank you for your word that reminds us that we should pray. And we thank you that we see so much evidence in scriptures and indeed in our own lives and the life of this church where prayers have been answered. Lord, we pray this morning, first of all, for those families who have been bereaved. We think of Iris's family, for Karen and for Glenn, for the grandchildren, and for the many people who will miss Iris. She has been a live wire in this community and this church for many years, and we thank you for her, and we commend her into your eternal mercy and care. We pray, Lord, too, for the family of Rex Gilman. We think of Debbie and her brother Kevin. We think of the loss that they suffer. We think, too, Lord, of the struggling that Rex has had over these last years, really. For many years, confined to his house, and in the last few years to his bed. Lord, we do pray your blessing upon that family at this time too, that they might also know peace and closure. And again, we pray that you would hold Rex in your mercy and your care. We pray for friends in our church who have health issues. We pray for those who can't be here this morning due to poor health. And we ask a blessing upon them. Lord, be amongst us, we pray, at this time, particularly this winter season, when there's so much pressure on the health service and doctors. We do pray, Lord, for your presence and strength for all those who suffer health issues at this time. We pray for this church and we pray for its future, and we pray that you continue to guide and speak to deacons and church members alike. Bless us, Lord, and lead us forward, as we also ask you to bless our fellow sister churches at Fuller and Rockingham Road. Be amongst us, Lord, in these days as we do seek to be your people and to be a light in a dark place. Use us, we pray. Use this church and the witness it makes to bless others. We pray for our nation. We pray for those who lead us. We pray for our government that they may also have wisdom and justice at the centre of their thoughts. We pray for our House of Commons and all MPs who have responsibilities to vote and be fair in all their deliberations. Lord, be with those as we're asked to pray for those who lead us. We pray for tomorrow, for the inauguration of Donald Trump. Many are uncertain what this means. Many of us have a sense of trepidation as to what might happen. But we do commend the whole situation to you as a new president is sworn in. And again, Lord, we believe and we know that you are ultimately in charge. Forgive us when we doubt that. Forgive us when we fear human beings. Help us to be able to put our trust and confidence, Lord, in you and in your plan for this, your world. Finally, we do pray for the peace in the Middle East. We somehow pray that it will hold, that there will be a recognition and a release of hostages and a change in that situation that has been like a sore over these last few months. Lord, bring about your peace, we pray. And in many places in our world where there is disharmony and war and hatred, we seek your presence. Lord, be with all Christians who seek to make a difference in these days. And so finally, we pray for the prayers we prayed, and we pray too, Lord, for those things in our hearts that we mention to you on a regular basis. Lord, hear our prayers for people, for situations, for circumstances, that you might indeed grant a blessing on all our prayers. Lord, hear these things, because we ask them now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read a parable from Matthew 13, a parable of the sower. It's one of those. It's the first parable that Jesus speaks after his introduction in Matthew's gospel. And I just thought we'd look at a parable this morning, a picture. And I hope maybe this picture will help us to see ourselves and to see what God is doing in our lives and in our world. And it goes like this. Then he told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell in the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places that did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly. But because the soil was shallow, the sun came up and the plants were scorched. They withered and they had no root. Yet more seed fell amongst the thorns and the weeds which grew up and choked the plants. But some seed fell on good soil. It produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Those who have ears, let them hear. Jesus had some discussion with the disciples about what was going on, and he turns to them and says this: listen, this is what the parable means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes in and takes it away. This seed is sown amongst on the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but there's no root. It lasts only a short time. When troubles or persecutions come because of the word, they quickly fall away. The one who receives the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and riches, they choke the word, make it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. It produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. May God add his blessing to his word. I'm just going to pray for a moment to ask God's blessing on what we're going to think about this morning. Lord, our prayer is that you would hear us now as we ask you to make this parable alive in our hearts. Speak to us, we pray. And bless us, because we ask it in your name. Amen. If you go to the butcher's in Market Harborough, then you do have a bit of a problem in paying. I suggest you take cash. It's there in the market centre, in the indoor market. You probably know where I mean. And they do sell some very nice sausages. Very nice sausages. Also some nice pies. But the problem is, when you pay, you put your card in his machine and nothing happens. So what he has to do, he has to walk out the door and wave his card reader around in the air. He tells me the trouble is, ever since Sainsbury's was built 30 years ago, he can't get a decent signal, which is a funny way of doing it, really. But it just reminds us that we do live in a world where there's a lot of interference with our mental issues, with our communication with God and our connection with God. And the chap says, not only is it the buildings around, but also it's the atmosphere. Some days the pressure is too high or too low for the card reader to make a connection. And some banks, Nationwide isn't so good apparently, Barclays is better, make a better connection quicker. So if you've got a Barclays card, it's better than using a Nationwide card in some of these card readers. That's the situation. Now we come this morning to the Lord, and we recognise that we live in a world where so often we do have to get that connection. It doesn't always come as easily. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that prevent us from having that close connection. And we come to this parable this morning, and a parable that perhaps helps us to see things clearly, because we don't see things clearly. We need to see things. I mean, Jesus spoke to farmers. He spoke to people about things they understood. Perhaps you and I don't understand seeds and planting and fields like these men and women did who were listening to him. But he speaks in ways that we can understand. He shows us eternal truths through things that we know and realise. He shows us these things. I hope and pray that we do see him in our lives and we do allow him to speak to us, as so many people have over the years. And so we come this morning to look at this quite straightforward parable, and unfortunately it's got 4 points rather than three. So I just point that out to you, because many Baptist preachers only use 3 points in their sermons, unless we finish early, of course. But I remember very vividly walking across the fields in Barton Seagrave to school when I was younger. Used to leave Powell Lane, walk down the farm track, and you go across that final field, which is now an arboretum, into Wicksteed Park. But in those days, it was a wheat field. And you'd walk across the wheat field, and as you walked across, there was always a path which was quite solid, where people had walked down to the park, and people like me had gone on to various other journeys. And as you walked along, you were amazed. I was always amazed, because I'd just come from living in Birmingham, where I'd never seen a field of wheat. And you walked along this field, and there you saw this solid path. And there was obviously no wheat growing on that path. People were walking on it. Any seed that would fall on it would be knocked to the side. And it's just a lesson to me this morning as we look at this story, that when God sends his word into the world, there are so many places where that word does not have any purchase, where there's just no space. People who... you speak to about God's things, they don't want to even know. They just don't want to understand. They don't want to get involved. They don't many people don't even recognize there's an issue about sin and about God. They don't even believe in God. Their hearts are tightly closed. And this morning, I think we have to recognize that sometimes we can be a bit like that. We can close our minds and close our hearts. Although the fact that you're here this morning would suggest to me that this doesn't apply to yourselves, but maybe many people you know are in this situation where their lives are, their hearts are so hard. And all we can do is to pray. Just because there's a path there doesn't mean to say it can't be ploughed up. Just because it's hard ground doesn't mean to say it can't be softened. And I think we have this morning the responsibility to recognise that God does want to come into lives and bring fruit and a harvest. And Jesus just points out that some people have this hardness which needs to be overcome. A few years ago, you've probably seen my front lawn. It's quite a nice lawn, really. I did fancy a couple of shrubs in it. So I thought to myself, why not dig a hole and buy a couple of shrubs? So I started digging down. The only trouble was, after I dug about 4 inches, it was absolutely solid concrete. I mean, it wasn't completely solid concrete, but clearly the builder put all the rubbish in this sort of front garden and then just covered it with turf. It wasn't a garden at all. And there's no hope of growing anything. I mean, the only way you could grow something is to have a tub on the lawn. You certainly can't put any shrubs in there. And it's the reason why when the sun comes out, and it doesn't rain for more than a fortnight, or we haven't had that experience recently, I realise that. But when the sun comes out, it's a fairly dry few weeks, the grass just goes brown because there's no moisture, there's no soil, there's nothing there to bring growth. And Jesus points out this morning that there are so many hearts and lives in this world that are so enthusiastic at first for the gospel. They grab the gospel, we hold on to it, and it's the latest fad, if you like. It's the next thing that we haven't done and we wanted to see some changes. And I must admit, I look back on my life and think of all the people who I was at church with many years ago, and so many of them have just dissipated. The roots didn't go in. They, for some reason, there was rock there. There was things that weren't addressed. There were sins that weren't confessed. There were lives that didn't turn around, if you like, when God spoke to them. And it's not possible for God's word to grow in those lives because things come along that just discourage them and dishearten them. And Jesus says it's not wise to allow those stones to stay there. That the rock of sin and selfishness needs to be uprooted and dealt with if we are to see God's words grow and God's truth strengthen in our lives. We need nourishment from heaven itself. We need a soil that holds the moisture that comes by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be able to allow God to grow his word in our lives. The one I like best of all is this third option that Jesus offers to us. The option that these people he talks about are the people who've got thorns and weeds. And, you know, he's very clear on this. He says it's like you've got so much money and so much wealth and so many things that amuse you and take away your mind that there's no space for God's word. We're so worried, we're so filled up with the cares of this world. We're so overcome by the things that this world threatens us with. The world is our home, if you like, and we allow it to dominate our thoughts. And Jesus says these weeds and these thorns that tangle around, that just prevent the word from being affected and effective. And Jesus says this morning, we must clear out. If you go to the top of St. Mary's Road, and if you sit in the car like I do often at traffic lights and look across, on both sides there's some rather nice council beds of soil, and in those beds the council plants some rather nice flowers. Now at certain times in the year they will come and weed the section so that it doesn't the thistles and weeds don't grow too big. But at other times, like now, they will completely clear it out of all the weeds and all the mess, and they will dig it over and prepare it. And likewise, if you go along Wimble Avenue, you'll see a few allotments and various allotments. I'm always amazed when you see allotments. They're so pristine in so many cases, but there's always the occasional allotment where no one's bothered and the weeds have taken over. You know what I mean, don't you? Perhaps your garden looks like that sometimes, when you've neglected to weed, neglected to bother with it. It doesn't take much for the weeds to take over, just to do nothing, and they're in charge. And that's very much true in our lives. if we do nothing with our faith, if we don't manage it and deal with it and address it on a daily basis, if we don't build our faith, then it does become wild and overgrown, and it becomes very much less of our lives. And the things of this world do crowd in. So if you go up the top of St Mary's Road now, you will see that the soil is well dug. And the frosts are coming in and preparing that soil. And in a few weeks' time, they'll plant some summer beds in there. And they'll make it ready for the summer season. And it will look glorious for about 12, 13 weeks. And you know, Jesus is suggesting this morning that we should be those people who are good soil. That we allow our lives to be dug over, as it were. We get rid of the rocks and the stones, and we get rid of the weeds and the thorns, and we allow God's word into our hearts. And we allow it to develop. We allow it to grow. And when you grow things, you don't spend your time every night walking around looking at the stuff. My experience is, especially if you leave it alone for a while. But you do need to water it, and you do need to go and put some weed killer on sometimes if there's a lot of weeds. And you do need to address the issues that your particular area has. And that's what God calls us to do this morning, to look at our lives and to realise the need for our lives to be ready and fertile and available to Him. It doesn't just happen. What just happens is weeds and thorns. What just happens is stones and rocks. It only happens when we allow God to dig us over. We're going to gather around the Lord's table in a few moments. We're going to ask God to forgive us our sins and to take away these stones and thistles and thorns that so often dominate our lives. We call to hear this morning the good news of God and to respond to it in truth and in faith. It's not something we just do at church. I must just tell you, a few weeks ago, one of the things I liked about not preaching every Sunday now is to be able to go and, for the first time ever, I saw my granddaughter in a nativity service just before Christmas. It was really good to see the nativity service. But what struck me most of all, and I told them at Fuller last Sunday, is Mary, who had baby Jesus on her lap. Now, during the service, she was very attentive to baby Jesus. She held him in her arms, and she did what Marys do at nativities. Now, I know in here, on nativity times, and the Park School used to come down, sometimes Mary would hold Jesus by his left leg and pass him around to the angels and what have you. But Mary was a pretty good Mary. And she looked after baby Jesus quite nicely in front of the church. Joseph was not so good, I'll be honest with you. But us men aren't always. But then, when it came to the end of the service, I noticed she chucked Mary to her mother. Mary chucked Jesus to her mother. She couldn't be bothered. She'd come to the end of the service, she'd done her bit. Jesus had had his moment, and she just wanted to get out. And she wanted to go and play with her mates. So she threw Jesus at her mum. And you know what? A mum walked out the church, and it's an image I shall never forget. She walked out the church holding baby Jesus in her arms like that. And she walked out the church, and I thought to myself, you know, that's how we should walk out church on a Sunday. We should walk out of a church holding baby Jesus. Well, not baby Jesus, King Jesus. We walk out with Jesus close to our hearts. Now, after the service, the grandma told me that when they got home, they put Jesus in a box under the bed. Now, that's a bit naughty, isn't it? And he's gone away now till next Christmas. But let's be honest, we do that, don't we? When we get home, you know, I often say, when we used to get home after an evening service, we like to watch a couple of murders on telly before we go to bed, you know? As long as they're solved, it's a good evening. As long as Barnaby sought to murder out, or Vera, it's okay, isn't it? But, you know, we come today and we recognise, surely, that our job is not just to give Jesus some time in church. It isn't even just to take him home with us and put him on the mantelpiece or whatever, or under the bed. Our job is to take Jesus home with us and have him as a prominent part of our lives. Have him there every day to recognise him. Not to put an image or a little baby up somewhere so we remember him, but to always recognise him and acknowledge him and to live our lives with him. And not to get fed up with him like Mary or put him away so it's all tidy like the mother. I hope and pray this morning that we can be those people. Those people who do recognise the real importance of this Jesus who comes to give us life everlasting. So many of my friends, we're just getting older and they don't want to talk about what might happen after this life. They don't want to think about the future. They don't want to think about, this is all that they're worried about. This is all that they've got. And the future, well, it may or may not be true. Well, it is true. The Bible tells us, and there are people who've come back from beyond the grave, as Jesus did, and tells us what it is that God has for us. And we're called to come this morning and to have that fertility in our hearts and that willingness to receive him. But we do need to repent. We do need to turn from our sins. We do need to face in a different direction. We do need to follow him and to serve him and want to serve him at least the rest of our lives. We won't always be successful. We won't always do the right thing. And sometimes we shall make some mistakes. And sometimes we shall regress and go back to how we were, trusting in our world and our money and the things that we've got and even our friends. But we shall hopefully more and more come to trust in the Lord, to find a place for him, to have a place for him, to ask him questions. And you know, it's surprising what you can pray for. I'm surprised how when I pray and park somewhere, or when I pray and walk somewhere, I often bump into people I need to talk to. I just often walk into places and find situations where I just need to be there. And I think this is the sort of prayer that we pray, that God will guide us and lead us and be with us and manage the days. They say if you look after the pennies, the pounds look after themselves. If you look after the little things in our lives, the big things take care of themselves. If we seek first God's kingdom, then his will be done. If we prepare our hearts and just give God free rein, then he will have his way if we allow him to. He's a very good Lord, and he doesn't butt in. He lets us get on with it. It's a bit naughty, really. If you want to rush off and do what you like, if you want to be the prodigal son and go and live in a foreign country and feed pigs, he'd let you do it. As Billy Graham once said, God doesn't send anybody to hell. We do that. We make the choice of going there. God offers us, and God has us for... I was reading the prodigal son the other day, and you know what? To think that the prodigal son was living in a far land away from his father always had a room for him. The son's room was always there, and God has a room for each of you. In my father's house, says Jesus, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And Jesus has a room for you, a place for you. And our job, surely, is to claim that room and to go and live in it, you know? Not just to know it's there, but to go and live in it. And when you live in God's house, when you live in anybody's house, you tend to have to live under their rules, don't you? One of the reasons kids leave home is they don't want to live under the parents' rules and eyesight. And when we live in God's house and when we live with the Lord, we have to live under his rules. But that's what it's all about, surely. His protection, his rules, his ways. And as we give ourselves to him, I hope and pray that he will indeed guide us. So, as you leave this morning, carry Jesus in your heart. And when you get home, don't dump him and find other things to interest you. Allow God to guide you and lead you every day, because that's what he wants to do. He wants us to be fruitful and to be a blessing to others. So may God help us. And I pray now as we turn to our next song, and then as we turn to communion, he will indeed speak to each of our hearts and bless our lives. So we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love, and it is a depth that we have to remember this morning. And then we're going to gather around the Lord's table. The Lord is indeed full of compassion and mercy. He's slow to anger and of great goodness. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Praise the Lord. But indeed, he does not reward us according to our wickedness. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. So if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. None of us is good and righteous. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise. He will do what is right. He will forgive us our sins. And he will cleanse us from all our wrongdoing. For the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart that the Lord will not despise. So we do indeed request that God would create in us a clean heart. As David says, renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence and do not remove your Holy Spirit from me. So if you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, if you're in love and charity with your neighbours, if you're resolved to lead a new life, following God's commands and walking in his ways, then draw near this morning with faith. Indeed, take this sacrament to comfort and give you growth in grace. Come not to this table because you must, but because you freely choose to do so, to recognise your need, as we all recognise our need together, and to seek God's grace. For God did indeed love the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. The apostle says that he received from the Lord that which he also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In a moment, I'm going to ask Joy to come and do the communion prayer. But I just thought we might just pray the Lord's Prayer first, and then Joy will come forward. We pray the Lord's Prayer as we prepare for the communion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to get and gather around your table. We come and eat your body and drink of your blood. This act will bring you back to the centre of our lives. Let us know your peace and your love fall upon all of us. Quieten our hearts and minds so we are prepared to take communion. As we gather together, we come a broken people who have often said and done things which are not your way. Forgive us, and let us forgive others who have done these things to us. Let us show your love through our actions in our daily lives. Lord, our church life may not always be plain sailing, but let us show love to one another, always. Lead us the way that you have chosen for us, and we shall walk that path together in love. Lord, listen to our prayers and also the prayers in our hearts. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Joy. From that same night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you." We shall take the bread and we shall eat it. Immediately we receive it, and we shall indeed recognise the body of Christ that's broken for us to give us forgiveness of sins. Thank you. After the disciples had eaten the supper, Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We're going to receive the cup and hopefully retain it, and together we shall drink the salvation of the Lord. The blood of Christ shed for you. We drink this remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us, and we are thankful. Almighty God, we thank you for nourishing us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We offer to you now, as we often do, our souls and our bodies. Help us to be that living sacrifice. So send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and your glory. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone. It's four verses, but it's got quite a positive theme to it, as we look confidently to Christ's grace and mercy in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling, to bring you faultless and joyful before his glorious presence, to the only God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, might and authority from all ages past, now and forever. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship each day of his Holy Spirit be ours, now and for always. Amen.